Welcome back to Ezeoku Speaking Truths. In this week's episode, we continue our discussion around the unpacking of Prince Emmanuel Adewale Oyenuga's suitcase and its significance today. Joined once again by Dr. Carmen Perez, Moritz Nirmüller, and Asia Yamgmurian, we look at the suitcase as symbolic of larger human questions that touch on themes such as migration, identity, and the archive. We reflect on his journey from Nigeria to Spain and the impact of this on his artistic practice. When considering collections, we think of an accumulation of art objects by a private individual or an institution, driven by either interest in a particular artist, a particular time period, or a particular theme. Dr. Perez talks us through her methodology of considering the contents of Prince Oyenuga's suitcase as an unpolluted collection.
When I saw the material as a photo historian, as an expert on local photography, that has been my passion in the last 20 years, I was delighted with the images that I was seeing. For me, were amazing, beautiful, and also I didn't understand many things. But then the most important thing, this priority of finding the people and giving back the material, and being conscious that this is very private material and that we should respect that. Then somehow, I don't know at which point it got conscious, but unconsciously, I started working with, I cannot pollute this. I have to just respect everything as it has been given to Luisa and then Anna, and try to find information, hints in the photographs or in the albums that could help us maybe find some persons, some people that could know this Oyenuga family. So that was the reason why I started working in this way.
The title of the project, like a working title, but I think it's going to stay with us, is Unpacking the Suitcase. In a way, like you would literally do, just opening one thing, just like opening it, and then just not trying to fit it into any position, not to give it a name. If it's a mysterious suitcase, Nigerian suitcase, or a lost suitcase, no, unpacking the suitcase and talking about the process of dealing with this material. And that's why I think, I'm sure that's why this idea of the unpolluted archive comes from. Yeah?
Photography plays a significant role, not just as a tool of documentation, but also as a mode of self-expression. Let's take a moment to consider Prince Oyenuga's collection, his body of work. This collection brings us into a certain period in time that describes the landscape of not just Oyenuga's life, but also the landscape of Nigeria when he lived there. It gives us a glimpse into his life transition from Nigeria to Spain as well. As a man that wore many hats professionally, we start to get a real sense of not just Prince Oyenuga, but all the possibilities of life in Nigeria at the birth of independence and restructuring.
I think that it talks about the period of the time where the communal rediscovering of the identity and reshaping it towards like the future understanding of it started to happen. And of course, the technology played a big role in it. But at the same time, it historically coincided with the moment when the community was ready to talk about this and able finally, if we can say so.
We found in the negatives, like went through the negatives now again, we found a lot of people in uniforms in the some negatives, color negatives, slides actually, color slides. And I think that must be in the late 50s, early 60s, just before they went away, Emmanuel and his wife. People in different, military uniforms, but just, acting out very casually. So, I think they were part of the military. So I guess there was, remember that Emmanuel was working at the Ministry of Information so he was kind of part of this state apparatus and was, of course, very close with people like this.
as Moritz said, we cannot claim for sure that the photographs that we have found in the suitcase, the studio photography, that it belongs to him. There is no record of it. But what we know for sure is that he was working at the Ministry of Culture and Information, and he was also working there as a graphic designer. And then when he was studying photography at Escola Massana, at the same time he was working as a restorer for the Gaudi. So he was a man of many, many talents.
I was impressed also by this, some kind of things that I have never seen in other photographies, local photographies from other countries. And that was, for example, this repetition of twins, portrait studio, or twins-like. There were many, which later on researching it was clear that is something that is very peculiar or important in Nigerian culture or Yoruba culture. And another thing is the writings on the photographs. And it was also one that was like a mantra, too repetitive. And it was rape, rest in peace. And that was also, for me, it was clear they carry so much information about the history of this time and all through the eyes of a photographer himself.
The notion of pairing becomes quite evident in Prince Oyanuga's portraiture. In one image, a set of twins sit side by side facing the camera, their heads tilted, leaning towards each other, arms crossed behind their back, whilst the other arms face forward, interlinked on their laps. In another image, another set of twins sit on a stool, one leg propped up on the footrest, the other fully extended. They face away from each other, both in a pair of sunglasses with matching tops, matching wristwatches and pants. These two are just an example of a series of images reflecting the notion of repetition, mirroring, and also opposites.
It's really interesting how this layout of the photographs is somehow in between the personal and the public. So there is a kind of, and here are the, you know, this kind of people who look the same or dressed up the same, and then there will be some twins somewhere, as we've also already seen. But there is, I think, just going through that, you can see there is also the photo studios and so on, but so a mix between private and public subject, private and public views, private and public expected reaction to that. So, oh my God, this is him or her. Or a kind of more official view of maybe a historian who can relate to the radio and which kind of radios were present or which kind of dresses were en vogue in these in these times and these places. So I'm very interested, if I may say, like as a personal remark, I'm very interested in this mix of the suitcase a kind of parenthesis that is between the public and the private, kind of a scientific analysis versus a personal view. This is very much reflects, and maybe that's what most interesting for me to the, this also reflects the photographic medium.
Prince Emmanuel Adewale Oyanuga began to use the camera as an extension of self and of his identity. Through his work, people were invited into his world. From his time as a studio photographer in Lagos to his transition into art school at Massana School of Fine Arts in Barcelona, his sense of identity began to broaden. He stepped into his artistry more confidently.
We talked about the Brown portfolio the last time, and I have the opinion that the Brown portfolio was made in Barcelona. Why? Because it contains photographs both from Nigeria and from Barcelona, mm-hmm. and they are mixed up and they are very, you know, they, I think he came with a suitcase with some albums, but a lot of loose photographs. And then when he was in art school, he found out about this kind of, you know, artistic strategies to present and to keep and to archive. And I think it was there that he himself had this idea that his photographs are a collection, and now he's going to put them in some order, presentation format or archiving format.
It's one thing to be a good student, which I assume he was, looking at his diaries, the school diaries, papers, like how he has been documenting, transcribing all the lectures and like studying the theory. Yeah? But at the same time, this performative aspect, and still, it's funny because in the we spoke a little bit earlier about the rediscovering the identity, but Emmanuel was, he kind of transgressed that, and he was able also to invent those identities which existed in him, but at the same time do not separate them. And that's why I'm saying that he was not, I think we spoke about it in the previous episode, that he was not just a photographer, he was an artist.
Picture, if you will, a series of black and white negatives, the first of which depicts a figure setting up a camera, the frame depicting mostly his chest. The following images become self-portraits of Prince Oyanuga as an art student in Barcelona. One of these images depicts Oyanuga with his back to the camera, sitting in front of a typewriter, looking into the distance. Another shows Oyanuga standing in front of a bookshelf filled with books as he peruses through and selects one for his reading.
This is a nice, a perfect case to talk about, like when we don't have the story written around it, and then we have this photographs and where we see Prince himself manipulating and staging and kind of creating different discourses, different realities, not discourses, which can further serve us for developing the discourse in the different directions. But he has kind of, he was able to create this universe, yeah? Like where he himself could one day be one person, another day be another person, and but still he remained the same. It's not about like choosing or denying the other one. It's about like the idea of embracing and allowing for this kind of different identities to come together in one person who is an artist.
This kind of collection idea, I think, was his own idea at a certain point, Prince Emmanuel's own idea, but he is not hesitant to mix materials that are kind of originally photographic by made by him and mixing it with other elements. Mm-hmm. So he received a lot of letters and postcards as a response to a call that he published in a Polish magazine in the probably 1961. We don't have the number yet, but we are after it. Of course, you know, in Poland, people are now with the war in Ukraine, they have other problems than looking for us for for a magazine from the 60s. But we'll get it. And the call, which I can only deduct from what people have written back, is a call to have a pen friends. To have to exchange stamps and other visual materials. So one, for example, is from a small city in the Czech Republic, from a place called Liberec. Liberec. And he writes, "Dear sir, I should be very pleased to exchange view cards with you. What do you desire? Your friend," then there's the signature, and it's probably Miloš Sandera from Czech Republic, then Czechoslovakia. And he writes Radar after the signature, which is the name of this magazine, which was a big magazine, published by the communists with the help of the Communist Party in Poland, and it was part, it was distributed worldwide. So Emmanuel got back letters from South Africa, the US, Cuba, Poland, of course, Germany, Czech Republic, as we just heard, and so on. And he also, put in these postcards on these sheets. So he made the collection. He gave the collection a form. We still have some loose photographs, which are interesting, but we have kind of a main structure that was already established by him and that we try to respect, as Carmen has pointed out so well, in this kind of not polluting these orders.
Prince Oyanuga becomes an interesting case study in evolution of identity. He straddles a space between Nigeria and Barcelona, all of which draw an influence on his artistic practice and his ways of self-expression.
I just have a thought. I don't know if it is interesting, but just came like this. So I was thinking, Emmanuel started his photographic activity in Lagos when he was not polluted, probably, by the Western aesthetics or Western way of photographing. He trained, he learned, that's just one thought that maybe is wrong, but I just came home and I want to share it. And then this, he learned in this studio, Facuns, that we know, because we have read that in the documents. And the other studios that were in the near his house, probably he worked on them too. So at this point, it's very difficult to know which photographs that were taken in the studios were taken by other photographers or were taken by him. So, but there is other ones that they are clearly taken by Emmanuel, with no stamps from studios or wherever. So this is one point that for me, maybe for younger researchers, could be also an issue. This maybe hybridity in the aesthetics of the later photographs in, when he was in Barcelona. I'm just asking myself, I'm not answering. No, we have not gone so far. But I think this could be an interesting point. This not polluted way of taking photographs, then you go outside and then obviously you get more influence, even if it's unconscious. And maybe that will make a change in the way of taking photographs and even recording them, collecting them or assembling them. I don't know. It's just one point that came to my mind and maybe it's interesting for later.
I'm a bit more skeptical about this kind of, unpolluted vision, because as we spoke, he received magazines, he saw things from abroad. I think what you probably were referring to is this kind of studio photography way of staging the reality. Mm-hmm. And I think he takes that to Barcelona and he shows it or compares it to other people, and he pulls them on the stage, really. Mm-hmm. So he's using this kind of tool. Also with the dressing up, this is a whole kind of ritual, I think, this photo studio ritual. So this is probably what you refer to, and this I find very interesting. But I think this view is already a kind of a mestizo, a kind of mixed vision of many influences, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. How can we learn from it without literally responding to it? And literally responding, of course, the investigative response to the story might be an interesting one, but I don't know, it's really up to artists to create what they might think be useful or they would like to do. And it's never about like following this path or that path. It's just like probably more learning from the methodology that Prince Emmanuel Adewale Oyenuga unconsciously or maybe consciously proposed in his artistic practice, which came in a form of a suitcase.
So this is the story of Prince Emmanuel Adewale Oyenuga. How can it relate to us in our contemporary moment? In what ways does his portfolio, the suitcase, the journey of his life reflect all of us? How do we relate? And what can we glean from looking at the suitcase?
It's such a like a everyday object that everyone has. Like we have so, I mean, the suitcase, it has many, many different connotations. Yeah, like for example, when we go to travel, we take a suitcase. When we're forced to leave, we pack probably in a small suitcase the most dearest objects to us. When we travel somewhere, we care so much about our suitcase when it's not arriving. So it's something that it's yours, but you can lose it. But at the same time, it's not about the physicality of it. It also helps us to think about this idea that we should not be bound to kind of certain types, certain ideas or certain locations. And it's about like the mobility, and we can all become suitcases.
It's so now, I mean, you've touched on this, the idea that the world is going through so much turmoil, but the notion that we could all fit our lives into a suitcase, and that could be any person in any geographical location, in any circumstance, could be in the position to have to represent themselves, their identity, their memories, their prized possessions in a single suitcase. And I think that would probably strongly resonate, even now, maybe more so now, actually, with all the kind of turmoil and madness of the world. So I think that's actually really well said, a really great way to think about it.
And it's like from the very beginning, I was also thinking that the suitcase and the story of the prince, it's like a story of migration. It's a story of big hopes, then lost hopes, then problems, yeah? But
yeah. And also a story of potential.
Potential.
Yeah. Like all the possibilities of what could be when you make space in a new place, you know? There's, I'm sure all of us who know the story are completely wondering what became of him and Elizabeth when they got to London. And the potential of that space.
It's like to say like in a very simple words and in two sentences, Prince Emmanuel has been able to introduce to us his way of thinking, which was beyond any kind of fixed constructs. And then just in 2 years time that he spent in Barcelona, he has been able to produce so much material that we can still reflect on. So yeah, what as you said, the potential of it. I'm very happy, as all of us, to be part of this project, and I feel that it's like it's an exciting journey that will unfold in many, many unpredictable directions, probably as the life of Prince Emmanuel.
Thank you to my guests, Dr. Carmen Perez, Asia Yegmurian, and Moritz Nermüller, for their time and their considerations and thoughts on not just the suitcase itself and Prince Oyenuga's work, but also on how it reflects the contemporary moment from looking at and unpacking this mysterious suitcase. Thanks to you all for joining us on this journey, and look forward to engaging with you again on the next episode.